We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer, a beach bum summer, or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Area 45 in for In the Loop today. In fact, we'll be here on Monday as well. Only the next time on Monday, Sean Bajani will actually join us. 713-572-4610 is your two-way sports talk hotline. You can also get us on YouTube. Search Sports Radio 610 on Twitch, twitch.tv/610Houston. On the X, formerly known as Twitter, at PCreighton1, at ChrisSX17, that's why he's C-Sex, and at JordanSmithPXP, because he is the voice of Rice Owls women's basketball, and you will put some respect on his damn name. Now, we're in this, like, what I call the second half of the offseason, right? You got, like, two offseasons every year in the NFL. You have the offseason following the season that leads up to OTAs and minicamp. And then you have the offseason in between minicamp and training camp. Now we're in that second half. This is the part where every general manager looks at all their players and says, please, just don't freaking get arrested. Also, don't get injured doing something stupid. There's not a lot of new things to talk about. There's not a lot of new players getting signed. Not a lot of, every team hopes, not a lot of major injuries coming out. So it's kind of what we call list season. There's not anything new going on, so we got to make stuff to talk about because, damn it, it's the NFL and we're going to talk about it. So the 33rd team, with former NFL GM Jeff Diamond, put out a list of what they call the top 25 players in the NFL under the age of 25. Now, there's going to be a lot of names on here that you're going to recognize. Also, there's a lot of names on here that are not under 25 because I think that's part of it, right? You're supposed to be, it says under 25.
It feels self-explanatory.
However, not everyone on the list actually makes the under 25 cut. I'm not entirely sure how or why that happened, but sure enough. For example, Justin Jefferson. Well, he's not under 25. He is 25. Micah Parsons. Guess what? 25, not under 25. And again, maybe that matters. Maybe this should say 25 and under, not under 25, but they kind of ruined that part of it. Either way, this has kind of gone through, and as I went through a few other of the guys on here, I was starting to look at this and say, all right, under 25, well, there is one very prominent Houston Texan that should be at the very, very top of this list, and he should certainly not be behind CeeDee Lamb, who, of course, is not under 25. Oh, wait, that's three guys on this list, not under 25. So maybe what we'll do is we'll just call it the 25 and under list. The 33rd team just sucks at headlines. So here are the guys on this list from the bottom up. The following players not rated ahead of Will Anderson Jr. or C.J. Stroud.
But I'm here.
Number one, Trevor Lawrence, who just got paid. Number two, Jahmyr Gibbs. Number three, Creed Humphrey. Now, I know none of you have a clue who the hell Creed Humphrey is. He plays center for the Kansas City Chiefs. 22, Chris Olave. 21, Devontae Smith. 20, Sam Laporta, who's ahead of Chris Olave. Okay. Number 19, also a Texan, Nico Collins.
Go time.
Feel like maybe he should be a little higher on the list. However, number 18, Tristan Wirfs. He's a tackle for the Bucs, for those of you who only count skill position players. Because a lot of people, fantasy is all that matters. Number 17, Will Anderson Jr., the reigning, defending, undisputed AFC Defensive Rookie of the Year. Number 16, Garrett Wilson of the J-E-S-T, Jest. Number 15, Patrick Surtain II. Number 14, Puka Nacua. And yes, if you were somebody who all last year called him Pucka for like the first 8 weeks of the season, nobody's blaming you. We know you didn't know who a sixth-round pick was. We know if you had him on your fantasy team, it was totally by accident. You took a flyer. It's okay. Sometimes you get lucky. Once upon a time, I got so lucky, I won a title. Because right before the season started, I took a flyer on some guy nobody ever heard of named Kurt Warner. That flyer, not ass.
Not ass.
Number 13, Trent McDuffie. Number 12, Jordan Love. Interesting, because there are some people who seem to think Jordan Love should be ranked higher than C.J. Stroud, but kids, drugs are bad. You shouldn't do drugs. Number 11, Aiden Hutchinson. Number 10, Kyle Hamilton, once upon a time on a Texans wish list. Number 9, Amon-Ra St. Brown. He is the good St. Brown. Equanimeous St. Brown. He is the not-so-good St. Brown. Amon-Ra, the good one. Jamar Chase at 8. And then C.J. Stroud, the 7th best player in the league, 25 or under.
But I'm here.
And I have a feeling as soon as I tell you who number 6 is, you are going to do the same exact thing I did, which is call absolute friggin' shenanigans. Because there is no way on God's green earth anyone is telling me with a straight face Brock Purdy is better than C.J. Stroud. If you think Brock Purdy is better than C.J. Stroud, you probably think the earth is flat. If you think Brock Purdy is better than C.J. Stroud, you probably think it's okay to drink ocean water. If you think Brock Purdy is better than C.J. Stroud, you probably also think that me at 51 and 5'10" with my shoes on, and two torn Achilles, a torn rotator cuff, and a thrice-repaired knee is starting at center for the Houston Rockets this year over Alpi Shengun. Not no way, not no freaking how. And this is not bagging on Brock Purdy, because you know what Brock Purdy does? He does an excellent job of using the immensely talented gifts all around him in Brandon Ayuk, in Deebo Samuel, in George Kittle, in Christian McCaffrey. Maybe the best weapons any quarterback has in the league, period, end sentence. He drops back, he makes his reads, he delivers the ball. If Brock Purdy had to play for the Tennessee Titans, he would get murdered.
Ass.
He would just get absolutely freaking murdered. If he had to play for the New York Giants, he would get freaking murdered. But he gets to play for the 49ers, who have one of the best rosters in the NFL.
Not ass.
Number five, CeeDee Lamb. I think CeeDee's a hell of a player. I first called a game for CeeDee Lamb when he was in 10th grade, and he wasn't even CeeDee yet. He was still Sadarian. They hadn't even started listing him on the rosters yet as CeeDee. Number four, Sauce Gardner. We got to stop. Sauce Gardner's a really good player. Sauce Gardner had zero, Z-E-R-O, interceptions last year. I don't care how good you are, you got to grab at least two picks. If you can't get two freaking picks, you can't be the best ever. Could you imagine Deion Sanders getting zero picks? And I'm sorry, nobody is more avoided in the passing game than Deion Sanders was. Teams were terrified to throw to his side of the field.
Amen.
So let's not pretend that somehow, some way, Sauce Gardner, oh, well, he's so good that nobody threw the ball at him. They were all afraid of him. At 38 years old and playing on a half a foot, Deion Sanders had two picks. Wasn't even a starter at that point in his career.
Amen.
I mean, and that's after he was retired for 3 years and then came back and played a season. And then at age 38, still had two picks. You can't get no picks. If you have no picks, you can't be the number one corner. Sorry. End of discussion. You're a really damn good corner. But you can't be Roberto Duran Hands of Stone. In fact, there is a certain guy taken before Sauce Gardner who happens to play for your Houston Texans who has more interceptions in his two-thirds of a season last year than Sauce has in 2 years combined. I feel like picks matter for DBs. Number three, Penei Sewell, offensive tackle, Detroit. Man, shut up. An offensive tackle better than a guy who just put up the greatest rookie season for a quarterback ever. Who led the league in yards per game. Who led the league in touchdown to interception ratio. As a rookie with no running game. On center five, on guard six. I mean, it may as well have been a carousel going through the Texans' offensive line last year because they always had different guys out there. Number two, Micah Parsons. Number one, Justin Jefferson. Should Micah Parsons be above Justin Jefferson? Is it harder to be a big-time defensive end than to be a big-time wide receiver? I feel like it is. When you're a big-time wide receiver, nobody's beating the crap out of you on every play. I mean, they're not allowed to. Micah Parsons is making guys 300 pounds look silly. Micah Parsons got to go earn it all on his own. I have no idea how C.J. Stroud is 7 on this list. I'm not entirely sure how C.J. Stroud is not 1 on this list. In fact, I would say C.J. Stroud, 1. Micah Parsons, 2. Even though, again, Micah Parsons is not actually under 25. He is 25. Would Justin Jefferson be 3? 4? Would CeeDee Lamb be 3? Or 4? How about Ja'Marr Chase? As good as Amon-Ra St. Brown is, do we think Amon-Ra is in the same conversation as Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase? I feel like he's kind of like the next tier below, right? Amon-Ra St. Brown more like in the T. Higgins realm than in the Ja'Marr Chase realm. And that's not a bad realm to be in. Let you know, understand that that's pretty lofty company. But I don't feel like he's in that same level. Is Amon-Ra and Puka closer together than Amon-Ra and Ja'Marr Chase? I feel like yes. But man, how the hell is CJ Stroud 7? I know he played 1 year in the league. For him to have the year that he had and the expected growth that he is expected to have here, right? What is CJ Stroud going to be in year 2, where hopefully he has an offensive line that actually stays healthy and plays together? Where in addition to Nico Collins and Tank Dell, he now has Stephon Diggs, who's been one of the top 3 most productive wide receivers in the NFL for the last 4 years. Oh, and they have a real running back in Joe Mixon. Oh, we think CJ is going to be better or worse in year 2, because I have no idea how anybody thinks he's going to be worse. It's silly lists. It's silly list season. Because there's no way in hell you're telling me that there are 6 guys in the league under 25 that are better than CJ Stroud. Because the answer is there's probably nobody in the league under 25 better than CJ Stroud. In fact, if we're talking about how good guys are, how many players are you actually putting above CJ Stroud to begin with? Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, end list.
But I'm here.
End list. I'm not saying better than Joe Burrow, but definitely same plane. Better than the schlub in Buffalo who's going to find out what life is like without having Stephon Diggs again, because the first time he didn't have Stephon Diggs, he was considered a bust. And that would be Josh Allen. Now that he doesn't have Stephon Diggs again, let's see how fast he goes back to being a bust, because I am all for it. Jalen Hurts, pretty good. Not CJ Stroud. Not at all. Jordan Love had a really good season last year. Not CJ Stroud. Bryce Young, stop it. Will Levis, I feel like if Will Levis were to make some tuna fish on toast, he might wind up in a burn unit covered in mayonnaise. And not just the stuff from his coffee. Yeah. CJ Stroud is that dude. And the biggest reason why I think there might be more excitement around the Texans this year than there's ever been, including their first season when Houston got a team back, is because of the dude who wears number 7.
Me, I got you.
I know you got me. That's my football tribal chief. CJ Stroud. We get to the hot leads next.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid.
So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
These are the new leads.
Now look, I need the lead.
These are the Glengarry leads.
Two lead cards for tonight, two lead cards for tomorrow.
Why give him the good leads?
He's got the leads.
He's got the leads.
He's got the good leads.
The whole thing is the leads.
They stole the Glengarry leads.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
It's time for the leads. The most famous boot of Independence Day week belongs to Dak Prescott, who was seen in a walking boot on the old X, formerly known as Twitter, on Wednesday. In a walking boot while on vacation in Cabo. Now, here's what I can tell you about Cabo. I don't want to be in a walking boot if I'm in Cabo. I want to be on the beach. I want to be in the water. I'm okay with being on the boat. I'd rather be on the beach than in the water. But I sure as hell do not want to be in a boot.
No.
And the panic that ensued. Oh my God, why is Dak in a boat? Well, according to the Dallas Cowboys, it was a minor right foot sprain that only temporarily required a walking boot. Team does not say how he suffered the injury. We don't know if this was a Carlos Correa-esque injury that was done in the dungeon, or, you know, if he was just doing whatever and stepped off a curb or something like that. Now, of course, Prescott suffered a compound fracture and dislocation of his right ankle in 2020, but has not had an ankle injury since. Dak, in the final year of his deal that will pay him $29 million, he is looking for the Buku Bucks. I don't know if the Cowboys are going to pay him, but I know what happens if they don't, and they will be ass. Number two, Ryan Garcia back in the news again for all the wrong reasons. Garcia, who recently had a victory over Devin Haney overturned because cheater, cheater, PEDs. Well, he was on the socials and the medias making very inappropriate comments using racial slurs disparaging both African Americans and Muslims in something he live streamed on social media. The WBC has banned him. WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman announced yesterday He is out of the WBC. They will not recognize him. They will not sanction him. He no longer exists to them. Suleiman wrote, "We reject any form of discrimination. I fear for Ryan's well-being." Ryan, not Ryan's, Ryan. Well-being, as he has declined multiple attempts for our help with mental health and substance abuse. Garcia is already serving a one-year suspension from the New York State Athletic Commission after he tested positive for PEDs in a suspension that is retroactive to April 20th when he fought Devin Haney. Haney had mentioned after the fight, you know, he was surprised how strong Garcia was. And then we found out why. Garcia, who is 25, was also arrested on felony vandalism charges last month after a Beverly Hills hotel accused him of causing $15,000 in damages. This dude is on the train to hell. And it's sad because, you know, he's not a transcendent boxer, but he's a really good boxer. And he's going to ruin his career before it takes off because he's a moron. Can't fix stupid. Could the U.S. Women's National Basketball Team have a new member? Injury replacements are a real thing. And Nafisa Collier left last night's game with a foot injury. She plays for the Minnesota Lynx. And with about 2.5 minutes to go in the third quarter, she took herself out of her game against the Connecticut Sun. Did not return. She was the MVP of the Commissioner's Cup Final, which the Lynx won on June 25th. She was named to her second U.S. Women's National Team basketball for the Olympics earlier in June. Her coach said she did not have an update on Collier's status. Collier, this game, because she left early, broke her streak of 29 straight games scoring in double figures. She is a forward. If she is not able to play, could Angel Reese, who currently is on a WNBA record 11-game double-double streak, looking for her 12th straight double-double tonight, could Angel Reese pick up the spot on the U.S. Women's National Team? If Collier can't go, to me, Reese would be a no-brainer to take that spot.
Yes, but I also feel like Boston would have a better shot. I feel like Aaliyah Boston may have a little better shot at it, but you could make an argument for either one to really make it, and it wouldn't be that difference of a, you know, okay, this makes sense, this doesn't make sense.
You know, the Fever have been a lot better since Aaliyah Boston got on the same page with Caitlin Clark. And I know there is not a day that goes by you can't get a highlight film of all the beautiful passes Caitlin Clark has thrown her teammates that they butterfingers.
Mm-hmm.
But Boston has been a lot better since she and Clark have kind of gotten on the same page. But I think it's hard to dismiss the magnetism of Angel Reese.
Oh, absolutely.
I think if this was a guard, Caitlin Clark would be a no-brainer. But because we're talking about a forward, I don't think they should make the same mistake twice.
Mm-hmm.
You already blew it, not putting Caitlin Clark on the team. Don't blow it again if you need to replace a forward and not make it Angel Reese.
I will say, I got to see her up close and personal this past March. She's a beast. She is an unstoppable force. And, you know, people make the argument that, yes, she has a lot of rebounds, partly because she misses so many shots, so she's getting her own rebound constantly. You take those out, she's still getting a double-double regardless.
You know what? She's got a lot of junkyard dog in her.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of players who have that. I mean, she's got a mentality of she will fight you. And I don't mean, like, physically fight you, although she might.
Right.
But she will fight you for every board. She gets under there, and she's ready to slam elbows and bang bodies, and she's ready to be physical. Angel Reese, I mean, for all the smack talk that goes with her and Caitlin Clark and how she seems to do all the smack talking and Caitlin seems to do all the I'm above this, that does not change the fact Angel Reese is a badass.
Oh, absolutely.
And do not mistake her heel persona for the fact that she is not one of the top 15 players in the league. She absolutely is.
Without a doubt.
Lionel Messi nearly cost his team at Copa America when a game between Argentina and Ecuador went to penalty kicks and Messi stunk off the crossbar. Leo Messi missed a kick. But Emi Martinez, who is now gone from historical figure to mythical figure as a goalkeeper for Argentina, stoning guys left and right during PKs so that Argentina could win 4-2 on PKs and advance to the semis of Copa America. Angel Mena and Alan Minda got absolutely stuffed by Martinez, whose legend just continues, saving Messi from a very tarnishable evening. All hail the goalies. And our final one involves a local guy here in Texas. Dakarian Moore, the number one wide receiver in the 2025 class. Wide receiver out of Duncanville, Texas, has committed not to Texas, not to A&M, not to LSU, not even to Ohio State. No. 5'11", 185-pound star is committed to the Oregon Ducks. I got to tell you, when I saw this, my first reaction was, A, Pete Thamel was right, because there was a tweet that Pete Thamel put out and then immediately deleted that said he was going to Oregon. Then there was another tweet that Dakarian Moore put out and said, who's Pete Thamel? Bruh, you know damn well who Pete Thamel is. He's one of the biggest college football guys in the country. You know damn well who he is. But then the confirmation. How does a Texas guy wind up at Oregon? You know, we say this about California kids, right? If you're a Cali kid and you're not at a Cali school, you're not any good. Because, like, the SEC teams should never be stealing Cali kids from USC or UCLA or you know, or those type of schools. Like, what used to be the Pac-12. If you're a big-time Texas kid, how the hell are you getting out of Texas?
Big Ten money.
SEC money. You could play in the Big Ten and not go to freaking Oregon.
True.
I mean, is it, you know, they're a little lax on the puff puff pass? You know, maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But to me, this is a monster fail by UT, by A&M, by Baylor, by TCU, by LSU, because LSU might as well be a Texas school.
Right.
How do you not nail a kid from Duncanville right here in his backyard? How does Oklahoma State not nail that kid? You let him go to freaking Oregon? I mean, I know Uncle Phil's got some, you know, some money and some funky shoes and all, but it's Oregon. There's nothing to do there. I can't imagine cow tipping is all that great a sport for a kid who's the number three recruit of an entire...
Nerd!
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601-horsepower Ioniq 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 3-3 mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 5 SE SEL limited rear wheel drive and 361 mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 6 SE long range rear wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Class. But Takarian Moore is going to Oregon, and that is a phenomenal get for the Ducks. Coming up next, I swear this is the downfall of sports reporting.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
You know, there's always those press conferences where somebody asks a dumbass question, and your reaction as a fan or even as a media personality is, somebody smack that person and never let them have a microphone again. They ask really obvious questions because, you know, they decided, all right, this is what I want to write in my piece, so I'm going to ask this really stupid, obvious question just so I could get a quote. And you know what the quote's going to be, but you know, you're just trying to get your quote. And then sometimes they just ask really idiotic things. But sometimes, and this is especially common in combat sports, because in combat sports, they let way too many non-media people into press conferences and let them ask questions. For example, if you are, quote, an influencer or a YouTuber, you're not an actual media person who covers the sport, and you should not be attending press conferences, and you should definitely not be allowed to ask questions. Why? Because you're a dumbass. You are somebody who is there for your own promotion, not the fight. You're just looking to get some clicks for yourself. You're a dumbass. And really, at this point in the game, combat sports don't need dumbass, quote, influencers to promote their sport. So, for those of you who don't know, there's a fight coming up. And it involves Nate Diaz and Jorge Masvidal. Only instead of being in the octagon, they're just going to have a boxing match. They're just going to throw hands. And the press conference for this was it yesterday, the day before? And there is a YouTuber who goes by Neon, N-3-O-N, because, you know, reading is fundamental, who decided to ask this question of Nate Diaz, and it went as absolutely disastrous for him as you could possibly imagine. Here's how it went down.
Second question I have for you today, man, is when you do get knocked out, are you going to retire?
Who said that? So I know who you are.
If you do. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to be watching. I'm excited to see both sides, but...
I'm going to kick you in your f***ing leg. Hey, P.S., f*** you.
I have a lot of respect for everyone, man. It's just, I want to see a great fight.
F*** you.
He said when he get knocked out, right?
It's little kids like this little talking in this that is like changing the times. Need your little ass whooped. I got little girls over here that'll f*** you up.
We have any more media questions?
See, when you let some moron trying to, you know, get a little buzz from self say something really offensive to like a guy like Nate Diaz, you got exactly what you were going to get, which is Nate dropping more F-bombs than even I do.
And you know what's crazy? This Neon guy is known to do dumb stuff like this. Like,
excellent job on the self, you know, censorship there. I recognize.
Yeah. No,
game.
No, like he's known for this. Like he goes on. Well, he used to be on Twitch. Now he's on Kick, which is another streaming site where gamers stream or whatever. But he's known to do stuff like this, and it's just like he does it for that reason, for clicks, for you know all that stuff, and it's just dumb. A lot of people don't even like this kid, if we're being completely honest. He's a goofy-looking kid, too. So, it's just dumb, man.
Oh, he definitely looks like a wanker with hair.
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, he has no hair. He's bald.
It's like real, like, short.
Yeah, yeah, short. Yeah. Yeah.
And he looks like a wanker.
Yeah.
But this idea of, hey, we're going to have non-professional people asking non-professional questions is what makes these things devolve into what you just heard, which was... FFF. Now, we laughed, and it's funny, and this kid basically got embarrassed by Nate Diaz. But there was more. Oh, there was more. In fact, after the press conference, Neon may have set a new world record in the 200-meter dash because things got really real.
Yo, what the f, dude?
Stop, what
the
f-?
What did he say? I blacked out. What did he even say to me?
He was cooking it for a minute.
Yeah, go with that. Okay, wait, car, get in the car.
Yeah,
I'll call Masvidal. Just get in the car. I'm sorry.
Things got real. And he was running for his life from some big dudes who, I don't know how bad the intentions were. I don't know if they were looking to whoop his ass or just scare the snot out of him. But if their goal was to scare the snot out of him, I guarantee you he needed a new pair of pants after that.
I would too. Holy cow.
But see, this is what happens when you're trying to get stupid with guys who beat the hell out of other people for a living. Now, Nate Diaz was not involved in that whole chase scene. That had nothing to do with Nate Diaz. But there were dudes. And they were big. And I don't know if they're part of Nate's entourage, if they're just other fighters. I don't know who these dudes were. But they were intent on making this kid go one and two on himself. And you heard him screeching. I'm sorry. Now, that can't be acceptable either.
Please, I'm sorry, please.
Like, that can't be acceptable. I mean, look, he deserves it, but it can't be acceptable. All right, asking obnoxious questions like, when you get your ass knocked out, you're going to retire, cannot be acceptable. And then, you know, basically tormenting him and chasing him through the parking lot, making him think his life is in danger, and maybe it was, I don't know, that can't be acceptable either.
Yeah,
but this is what happens when we're not professional.
The when is the part that really gets me with that, is the when.
Yeah.
You just say if. This whole thing is avoided, but the when, just a little poke there, is what got this whole thing going.
He could have just said, hey, if you don't win this fight, will it be your last?
Right.
No, say, when you get knocked out, bitch. I mean, you might as well have just said, bitch, because when you get knocked out, are you going to retire? Literally, you just said, bitch.
Yeah.
The one dude you don't want to call a bitch is Nate Diaz. He's a elite fighter, and the elevator definitely doesn't go to the top floor. Nobody has ever been more ZFG about anything else in the world other than his fight than Nate Diaz. Nate is as old school a fighter as you can be. He is only concerned about the fight. He doesn't give a flying rat's tail about anything else. That is the wrong guy to think you're going to get mouthy with. And this is why you don't have these dumbasses in baseball, in football, in basketball, in hockey. They don't tolerate this crap. You're not going to have some knucklehead out there trying to, oh, I'm going to get my clicks at the expense of this. No! They're not going to let their... They're not going to let their athletes get embarrassed or their managers get embarrassed by some punk ass freaking YouTuber. And combat sports don't need to do this. Look, I get this as kind of a one-off, right? These are MMA guys having a boxing match. It's more spectacle than sport. But it's still going to draw in a ton of eyes. It's going to bring in a lot of money. And you don't need schmuckaroonies like this trying to put themselves over your fight. Like, why would you do that? And then this is what happens. And now we've got attention on this fight for all the wrong reasons. We have attention in Nate Diaz that maybe shouldn't even be on Nate, because, like, again, I don't know. Like, Nate Diaz wasn't the guy chasing him. And I don't know if the guys who did chase him are part of his group, part of his circle, guys who work for him, guys who are just part of his team, or maybe they're just other fighters and like, you know what, this kid's a punk, let's get him. Because you know what? When you act like a punk around fighters, you'd be very, very not surprised how all of them are like, let's whoop that punk's ass. That's their world. You open your mouth, we close it. You say something done, you pay for it. You can't say that kind of thing to guys who fight for a living and think, it's just fun and games. Yeah, no, that didn't work. This dude better hire security. Maybe not show up. I honestly feel like if that dude shows up to the fight, he's going to get his ass whooped. Deserves it. Look, I'm very much, if you say something that, he knew. Like Chris said, this guy's been doing this for a long time. He knew very clearly what he was doing. He chose his words very carefully and then backpedaled like a you-know-what. Oh, no, I respect everybody. I want to see a good fight. No, you don't. And no, you didn't. You were talking crap on Nate Diaz. And you heard him say, I'm going to call Masvidal. What, you think Jorge Masvidal is going to protect you? You think he's going to save you? He's going to tell you you're a dumbass. Because that's Masvidal's world, too. Go say that comment to Jorge Masvidal. He'll get out of his seat. And we know, you know what? We have seen his entourage throw hands. Jorge Masvidal don't play. He's another dude. That's why he and Nate, even though they don't really like each other, they're two peas in a pod. Because it's, I'm going to fight and screw everything else. Yeah, this is the kind of thing that I hope it serves as a lesson to every other jackass, wannabe, YouTuber, fake ass oh, I'm going to go ask some smart, I'm going to go put a smart mouth question on this guy. You're going to get your ass whipped. Ain't going to deserve it. I hope it tells you a lesson. And this kid should not be invited back for his own safety, let alone his own stupidity. Man, could you imagine like AFC title game and there's a big fumble late in the game that causes that team to lose and you got this schmuckaroony going, dude, why do you suck? Why'd you put the ball on the floor, man? You cost your team. You're terrible. Are you gonna retire? Are you gonna give back your salary because you ruined the season? I mean, NFL's not putting up with that nonsense. I don't care that it's not WBC or IBF or whatever alphabet soup boxing organization you want to put there. Nobody should be tolerating or welcoming this sort of nonsense. And look, I'm not openly saying that I want to see this kid get bent up like a pretzel, but I'm not going to shed a tear if it happens. Coming up next, you know, you can't have sports without shenanigans. Some of the best shenanigans of the 4th of July. Next.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601 horsepower Ioniq 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
It's been a three-year wait, but the Olympics are back, and the CBS Sports Podcast Network has you covered with everything happening in Paris. It's a new era for the U.S. women's national team, and Attacking Third will tackle all the women's soccer action. First Cut will keep close tabs on golf, while Beyond the Arc will follow the U.S. men's basketball team on a quest for another gold. And We Need to Talk Now will provide comprehensive coverage of women's athletes at the Olympic Games. Follow and listen to all CBS Sports podcasts for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.